Last time, we heard about Rod and Tony's wedding in Barron's River on the 22nd of July, 1924. It was not long before Tony was introduced to her new life as a trapper's wife. Her memoirs describe how it happened. The newlyweds lived in Barron's River for the summer. A few days after their wedding, Rod told Tony he and Lothar had two canoe loads of freight to be delivered to the Hudson's Bay Post at Little Grand Rapids, a distance of about 125 miles via the river and lake system. The goods were ready for delivery, and their plans were to leave as soon as possible. "Will Fred Whiteway be Lothar's bowman?" Tony asked Rod. When he replied in the affirmative, she went on, "Who will be your bowman?" "You," was the monosyllable answer. Tony was simultaneously thrilled and apprehensive. The full extent of her knowledge of canoes was from the pleasure ride she'd been given on Spirit Lake in Washington. She could not swim. She felt she hardly knew which end of the paddle to use in the water. Her concern drove her to mention these things to Rod. His unconcern heartened her, and when they talked of her lack of knowledge of canoes and freighting, he smiled and said gently, "Well, you can learn." The trip would take between a week and 10 days, depending on how many portages had to be made and on weather conditions. Rod spent time with Tony, giving her a capsulated course in the duties of a bowman. When the canoe was loaded, with the stern man in place to steer the craft, the bowman pushed the freight canoe off the shore or wherever it was beached and quickly jumped in. Similarly, when the canoe was landing, the bowman was the first one out, helping to stabilize the canoe until the stern man could help pull the boat to land. Other duties he could instruct her on as need arose. The two canoes left Barron's River early one morning, both heavily loaded, and Tony's life in the bush truly began. She'd never cooked on an open fire, but a large part of the cooking responsibility on the trip would lie with her. Again, Rod was her instructor, and the lessons were straightforward and positive. They did not carry any more personal goods than necessary, since the freight required the bulk of the available space in freight canoes. Their sleeping accommodations were simple: a piece of factory cotton stretched over a horizontal pole with cheesecloth attached surrounding sleeping bags. Mere basics of clothing were included. Food was also simple. Only basic staples were taken. The rivers would yield fresh fish, and all the men were expert shots if fresh meat was desired. Cooking was done over an open fire, another new experience for Tony. One night, Rod asked her to mix bannock, saying he would help her cook it when the time came. He completed his other tasks and arrived in time to set up an arrangement of reflectors so the bannock could be set close in all around the fire, and all would be cooking at the same time. The pieces of bannock were first browned in a frying pan, then set around the fire reflectors as Rod instructed, while the cooking of other foods was completed over the fire. Rod was a patient, quiet, and able teacher. Tony, a curious, capable, and apt student. They made an excellent team, and for them, the trip was an adventure in learning more about one another, as well as a time to share their love. Next time, we'll continue with their first canoe trip together to Little Grand Rapids. A copy of the tribute to Tony and Rod Schutze entitled "We Shared Each Other's Gladness" is in the Legislative Library at 200 Vaughan Street in Winnipeg. I'm grateful to Eileen Wojtowicz, their daughter, for permission to quote from this work. I'm Judith Hudson Beattie, speaking to you from Winnipeg. Goodbye.